The Russian Federation has the largest land area of any country in the modern world. That's over 6.5 million square miles of widely varying terrain and sparsely populated areas. What lies beneath the former Iron Curtain? From a country that is widely known for its secrecy and subterfuge, it would be folly to assume that the former Soviet Union has never witnessed or recorded contact with UFOs. In the far eastern town of Dalnogorsk, just northeast of Vladivostok, an event took place in 1986 that created quite a stir in the Russian and even international UFO community. On January 29th, the residents of Dalnogorsk witnessed a mysterious red orb-shaped UFO approach a mountain in the nearby range and seemingly make a landing impact that could be felt near the site. Russian professors from universities were on the scene within 2 days and were astounded by the evidence that was found that seemed to point to a mysterious object landing in the forest surrounding the mountain named after its height. In this case, the theorists are sending you postcards from Russia with love in the Height 611 UFO case.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing Case File 83, Height, is it 611 UFO incident? I couldn't figure out if it was Height 611 or Height 611.
It's Height 611 or 611 is okay. It's just how tall it is. It's just the height of the mountain.
Simple.
There is an actual name for the mountain, but it'd be harder to say than 611.
Anyways, I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm stoned.
Oh, on that legal BC cannabis?
That legal BC cannabis. I'm back. Did my full month, sober month.
Woo!
And then
how was it?
Ruined it all this weekend, two nights. It was good.
I saw some of your lucky monkey. Josh is a terrible gambler, I'll say that.
He's a horrible gambler.
And
he gets fucking loaded quickly.
What kind of person bets? What kind of hotel room nowadays doesn't have a microwave? That was a shitty bet.
Well, let me tell you, actually, only one of the rooms had a microwave and it ended up being somehow it was theirs.
Oh, really?
All the other rooms don't have a microwave. I don't know. Shitty dive bar hotel.
Why would a hotel room have a mic? Those things suck to clean. Like I've
pizza pops.
I have not stayed in many hotels where they have a microwave.
Every hotel I stay in now has a microwave. Pizza pops,
look at
man.
You.
Late night pizza pops.
Fine dining at the Super 8.
Master Braden, shall I put your pizza pops inside the microwave for thee? Jeez.
Yes. Other news, before any other kind of news, new shirts. Tons of new shirts on the site.
Shit, we did.
Got a bunch of designs, some new popular designs. Go check them out. Buy them if you like them.
Yeah, also, super groovy.
I realized that you couldn't change the color on the logo, so I uploaded the logos in all different styles and colors.
Full rainbow. Got everything.
A whole
on
bunch
there.
Of them. Every single color of in the spectrum.
Shout out to Peyton Taylor, who did some of the new designs for us. You can check her out at peyton-taylor.com or at Patty Poo on Instagram. She did some killer work for us making those designs. And a bunch of people were chirping the Mr. Conspiracy shirts. A lot of those have sold more than the others, so...
I don't know who would want to have that guy's ugly mug all over on your body.
It's just Mr. Conspiracy buying his own shirt. Buying a full array, every color. Anyways, let's get right into some space news. We got SpaceX's Starman and its Tesla Roadster are now beyond Mars.
Fake news.
Why is that fake? Oh, why do you think that's real news, man?
Okay. No, it's fake. Everyone's still screaming it's fake.
How is that fake?
Exactly.
The earth is flat. But it's well past Mars. It's been putting tons of miles on. When I heard that, actually, I was like, man, did it really? I feel like we talked about that, you know, not that long ago, but it's already been 9 months. Like, it's way the fuck motoring out there. Yeah, so that's...
Is it still transmitting video or pictures or anything?
I don't think they put anything on it.
I don't think they put anything on it. That takes a lot of tech. I don't think they would have.
Well, they had.
You're launching a car into space, like
they had it when they first launched it. They had cameras and shit on it.
I don't think anybody's been monitoring
it. I haven't seen any footage from it since. So, What else we got here? Two historic NASA missions ran out of fuel this week. The 11-year Dawn mission to explore the two biggest objects in the asteroid belt, and the 9-year Kepler Space Telescope mission that discovered thousands of exoplanets. Although both missions' mission conclusions were expected, it's sad to see them come to an end. But luckily, they've provided lots of data that will lead to scientific discoveries for years to come.
Super cool.
And neither will crash into Earth. So Dawn is going to orbit a dwarf planet for decades, and Kepler is 94 million miles away. So you don't have to worry about waking up and seeing one of those on your front lawn. What else we got here? Oh, they've still been trying to... we reported about it that they lost contact with the Mars rover because of the big
sandstorm.
Dust storm, yeah.
Well, it's still not sending messages back. So what they're hoping is increasing winds in the next coming weeks. They're hoping it'll knock some of the dust off the rover's solar panel, so it'll get back in business. But it's right now they really have no idea where it is. They kind of have idea, but it's
our lost little rover.
It's dicked right now. It's just dicked out there.
I always can never get, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around like how big that thing is. Like I always think of it as like this tiny little, like an RC car, maybe four RC cars like put together, but the thing is huge. Like if you look up pictures of it, the thing's like 6 feet off the ground. It's ginormous. Like if you actually look up pictures, and I just always in my head, it's like this tiny little robot just driving around. Like,
I kind of pictured like a short circuit.
Yeah, like the Johnny Five robot, but
yeah, Johnny Five.
But he's huge. It's freaking big.
Oh, so basically they've confirmed that there is a supermassive black hole in the center of our universe. They've always assumed there's one, but recently the material has been seen circling the drain. The European Southern Observatory's gravity instrument observed bright radiation flares around the disk belonging to Sagittarius A, the massive object at the galactic center. Basically, you can watch this video. It's really cool watching some light go beyond the horizon. It makes for some pretty trippy. What else we got for space news?
You're on a roll.
Yeah. Oh, this one's a little bit... This is a callback to some old... We talked about China making their artificial moon.
Yeah.
Well, experts say there is absolutely no way China's artificial moon will work. Basically, University of Texas professor of aerospace engineering, Ryan Russell, said, based on what he's read, the artificial moon plan would be impossible to implement. And is ludicrous. So high hopes, but you know, I don't think it's going to be happening.
That's such a bummer.
You guys, any space news?
Ooh, I've got one.
Yeah.
ATT, we got our name on the Parker Solar Probe, right?
Yes, we did.
That's right.
Yes, we did. We put our name on the Parker Solar Probe, and now the Parker Solar Probe is now the fastest man-made object.
Woo!
in the Guinness Book of World Records. It reached a speed of 155,959 miles per hour.
Shit. Wow.
It's also the closest man-made object that's ever to the sun.
Every day it beats the record?
Every day it beats the record.
When is it supposed to crash in?
Can't remember.
I imagine it's going to crash into the sun because I think it's going to get too close to...
They're saying that it's going to go... It's really just getting started. There's another object that they guys have built that's called the Helios 2 probe. And that one, I think, is actually going to kind of get up to a bit faster each time. The Parker Helios spacecraft is going to... Oh, no, I screwed that all up. The Parker Solar Probe. This guy is going to get to a top speed of 430,000 miles per hour.
Damn.
Yeah, that thing is trucking. And we're on it, which is pretty neat. I think that's super cool.
Any other space news?
No space news over here.
All right. I got, I also have UFO Case File of the Week.
Yeah.
Let's fire up the old Randomatron.
And we're thinking at it right now.
Perfect. This is posted by Empath Redondo. When a stone-cold, rational atheist computer scientist posts about abductions. Okay, I'd like to think I'm a rational intellectual, someone who would never be writing something like this. Well, here it goes. 2 weeks ago, I woke up with this feeling of drowsy brain fog and two strange dots on my arm and neck. I didn't think much of it, just assumed it was acne. The night before was a hazy memory to me now, but I live in a studio apartment and have had this uneasy feeling I wasn't alone in the apartment the last couple nights. A few nights ago, I got home late from work, and I swear I was putting my key in the front door. I could have sworn I heard tiny footsteps running away from the door. My apartment isn't big. It's not like there was anywhere to hide if something was in there. Anyhow, the next 2 weeks, I had these really strange nosebleeds at work. I'm a software engineer. They would come on suddenly, and it was a lot of blood, then stop. I got nervous, so I went and saw a doctor, but they said it was just allergies and dry air, the sort of thing that never happens to me. Abduction didn't cross my mind until Friday, when I had this vivid, terrifying dream of being abducted. It was a praying mantis type gray alien, and the surroundings were different. I was a child, like 6, in my parents' old house. First it captured me, then I broke free and went to protect my brother. It moved crazy fast, like a Bugs Bunny cartoon almost. It tried to take my brother, but we played baseball at the time. I grabbed a bat and started swinging, but froze. You know when Professor X freezes people with his mind? It was like that. Then I woke up in a cold sweat. I realized when I had the odd sensation waking up a few weeks before. A drafting ruler about the size of a bat I used it for artwork years ago was near my bed. Other things were very weird the last 2 weeks. I felt this insane amount of empathy. I was always sternly focused on work, but I just bought a roll of $1 coins and I'm wrapping them in these fly fishing dove feathers I have to give to homeless folks I see walking to work every day. Why are you wrapping the fucking dollar coins in dove feathers, man?
What?
I just... fucking aliens.
Why does he have dollar coins in the first place? Like, who uses dollar coins?
Well, this must be Canadian, because we use dollar coins.
You have dollar coins?
Oh, yeah.
You guys have dollar coins.
Loonies!
We hardly ever use the dollar coins over here. Okay.
I just want them to have some hope. So you gave them fucking loonies wrapped in fucking dove feathers? It's an excruciating empathy, like I can feel their pain. I want to cry when I walk past them. Folks, a few weeks ago, I was basically living a husk of Don Draper's life. Dark, cold, professional. I started creating artwork again, something I haven't done in years. I have a near photographic memory and can draw masterworks from memory. But I've let that go by the wayside for the last year as I focused on work. All right, buddy.
Yeah, okay. Holy shit. All right. So, yeah.
Fucking pump your tires a little bit.
You got this amazing ability to recall. All right.
Okay.
Right, right.
The last part is the craziest one. I can't tell, but I swear to God, I heard my coworker's thoughts. He was talking, and as we were walking to lunch, I heard clearly in my head, this guy doesn't listen to me in his voice. His lips weren't moving. It's true, too. I thought the guy was kind of dumb, as of 2 weeks ago. So much for the empathy. When we sat down for lunch and started eating, I started to really try to listen, and later on mentioned that I was listening to him. He gave me the oddest look. I don't know what the hell is going on, but I don't really want to regress or anything. Why wake a nightmare? I feel pain in strange places when I try to think about it. A metallic feeling in my belly button. Tinnitus in my head. My tinnitus! A throbbing sensation in the base of my skull. I don't know what these creatures would want with me. It's not wish fulfillment or wanting to be special. I don't want that. But I was an oddly sharp kid growing up. Learned how to read when I was ridiculously young, 18 months. I went on to study AI. Now build AI simulacra in, I don't know what the fuck that means, in the CS feeling, but my drug addicted distant cousin.
What is it?
Simulacra?
What is that?
Simulacra?
Simulacra?
They're like AI constructs. They're like not real AI. It's just like little AI programs.
But my drug addicted distant cousins also claims aliens, so I can't yield any casualty to my circumstances. Whatever they did, if it really was they, I think it was ultimately for the better. After the nosebleeds and mental fog subsided, my work anxiety is gone. I'm creating artwork, helping others, and genuinely feel more connected. Maybe they are simply here to help us. All right, buddy.
Now listen here.
I wonder if you could talk about yourself a little more on that. I learned to read at 18 months. And now yes, I'm the
please
best
tell us
person
all your
ever.
Amazing abilities that you had.
Yeah. Did you really learn to read, or could you just remember what the picture looked like?
Yeah. Oh my God. Asshole. Seriously. I mean, I can paint masterworks from memory, and now I work with what?
He's pumping his own tires pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
All right. Let's get to the task at hand.
UFO.
UFOs. Height.
Yeah.
611 UFO incident in Dalnogorsk Primorsky Krai, Soviet Union.
We kind of agreed to let Braden read all the names.
Yeah, let him try every single
all
one.
Super Russian names.
Oh yeah. I think I got that first one pretty good. Dalnogorsk.
It was actually way better than I was sitting here, I was reading it, I was waiting for you to say it, and I was hoping you're gonna butcher it, but it wasn't so bad.
It was pretty good. It's getting better, folks.
Dalnogorsk.
He's sitting at home practicing now.
Cry. I was on that like Google Translate doing like listen. Also known as Mount Zveskovia.
These are real names, people. Like he's actually reading the actual names. He's not making this stuff up.
Zveskovia. I mean, it's pretty
Zveskovia.
Good. Zveskovia.
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 In Dalnogorsk. So what happened here? Who wants to take us down a wild ride here?
Something crashed.
Yep.
Case closed.
And we're done. Spent.
Mr. Conspiracy.
All right, Dan. Well, Dan, what happened here?
All right. Buckle your seatbelts, kids. All right. So this incident took place in 1986, around January 29th, and what people place at about 7:55 p.m. in the evening. So Dalnogorsk is a small mining town, and it's in the far east of Russia, so on the right on the Pacific Ocean, and it's just a little bit northeast of Vladivostok. Vladivostok is kind of the major port on the east side of Russia, and that's pretty much where, I mean, they do have nuclear sub bases there. It was a big naval base. I've been there before. The city's pretty neat. I mean, it's kind of cool, but it's just like a big military town. People reported seeing a reddish looking sphere that flew into the town from the southeastern direction and crossed over a part of Dalnogorsk. And people are saying that it crashed on the mountain, which most people just refer to as height or mountain 611, which is referring to its height. But as Braidnoise told us, the other name is Izveskovaya Mountain. And this, they said that the sphere was approximately or looked approximately to be about 3 meters in diameter, but it had a near perfect round shape. There were no projections. They didn't look like there were any dents or anything man-made, kind of as if, you know, if you look at something man-made, it's got imperfections, but this was completely perfect. And its color was similar to that of burning stainless steel. They said on the approach to Hill 611, the object seemed to kind of jerk or kind of move in an erratic fashion, and then it fell down and just dropped like a rock. And at this point, witnesses said they heard like a weak, muted thump, which wasn't like a reverberating crash. It was just something I would assume it's just like, thump, you know, just like that sound, I suppose.
Just like that.
Just like that. And it said that there was some what looked to be some burning for about an hour. Like it looked like it had set some trees on fire. Now, some people say that that's a sure sign that it wasn't a meteor or a meteorite, because meteorites don't cause fires. I'm not 100% sure on that. If meteors don't cause fires, I suppose.
I guess it depends where they crash.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't hit anything that's flammable, I suppose, but I guess they don't cause fires. But that's ufologists, and some people are saying, yeah, that's one sure sign that it was a UFO, is that it caused a fire, that it wasn't a meteor, something else.
Right.
Interesting. So, yeah, and it was like this event is considered to be one of the best documented kind of or studied UFO cases in Russian UFO history. This is, people equate this to our Roswell.
Right.
This one is so well documented because the actual Institute of Geology and Geophysics of the Siberian branch of the Soviet Academy of Sciences actually studied and performed tests on rocks that they had collected from the site. When they arrived on there, there's a Dr. Divuzlini. Divuzlini. Okay. This could be so hard. People are going to yell at us. Dr. D, let's call him Dr. D. That's way cooler. All right. Dr. D arrived on the site 2 days after the crash and actually recovered materials from all around the site. And they said that they found tons of stuff, unusual things that they found. They found silica splintered rocks, which had been looked like they had been broken due to exposure to extreme heat. They said many pieces of nearby rock had particles of a silvery metal, and some of it had actually solidified into spherical balls. And so one of the most unusual things that they found were these things that they later called like tiny nets. And these nets had a composition of which when they took it for testing, like the Soviet scientists that studied it at a place, at least one place, the Omsk branch of Academy of Sciences, analyzed all the pieces that were collected there. And they said that at that time, the technology to produce the materials were not yet available on Earth, or were not known to exist on Earth, what they made. Like the composition of the way these things are, these nets were made up of these fibers. Like some of them were made of actual gold, like these gold fibers that had a diameter less than a human hair.
Mm.
You know, and it, like, they're like, we couldn't make this. We don't have the technology to make this at the time. Like, it might be possible in the future, but from what we know, like, we wouldn't be able to make this.
It was next generation technology at the time.
Yeah. So this was after the crash. Like, there were still unusual happenings at the site. People were saying that insects actually avoid the place. They say that mechanical and electronic equipment are affected by the area. You still get static and stuff like this. And even some people, including a local pharmacist, actually got really sick after the event.
So
going near the area.
Some type of lingering radiation.
Or some kind. Something. Mm-hmm. It affects biological life, and at least animals know about it. And even this place in Russia, Dalmagorsk, was... After this, like, there were more UFOs at this place. Like, it became kind of a UFO hotspot. Like, just 8 days after what they thought was the alleged first UFO crash, on February 8th, around 8:30, two more yellowish spheres came in from the north and reached the site of the crash. People were saying, witnesses said they circled it for four or five times, then turned back to the north and flew away. And then the year after, in November 28th, 1987, this was at 11:24 p.m., people said that they saw 32 flying objects appeared from what seemingly was nowhere, just popped up. And they said there were hundreds of witnesses, including military and civilians. I've tried to find up documentation or video of this, but it was 1987. So, and, you know, still kind of in the Soviet Union. So, I mean, Soviet Union had fallen by then, but it was still Russia. So, that's kind of hard to come by, to find that.
Right. Are all the objects that people see, are they all the same? Like spherical?
They said that, most of them, some of them were spherical, but they also found, like, people said they also saw large cigar-shaped objects, especially there was a mining area, and, like, a couple engineers on site at the mining area said they saw at least, like, three large cigar-shaped UFOs, which are, you know, people have reported seeing those before.
Yeah, it's pretty common, one of the more common shapes.
Right. And of these objects that they saw, 12, like, these objects flew over what they said about 12 different settlements. People were able to witness these, and they said at least 13 of the objects flew back to Dalmagorsk, to the exact site where the UFO had crashed, and they said that three of them hovered over the settlement, and then another five illuminated the nearby mountain, like maybe they were looking for something. Right. When the objects flew over houses, people reported that they created interference, like television and any kind of like telephone functions got static, things like that. It's like a super weird thing. Like, and this area borders China as well. And in China, like a couple miles from Dalmagorsk, there's actually another Chinese kind of astro engineering facility.
Right.
So, like, we're all within that area, which is all very strange. I was talking about earlier, but like you'd think like, oh, why, how would any of this happen? And like the US hasn't really said anything or recorded about it. We knew about it. Like people knew about this. There's a, you know, we could probably post a link on it in the show notes or something like this, but there's an actual Freedom of Information Act that people requested information on this. And it reads as such. This is a report from Vladivostok. Scientists of the People's Republic of China and the Soviet Far East have begun joint study of UFOs. The first meeting of the ufologists of the two countries has ended in the small maritime townlet of Dalnogorsk, the city where this all happened. The Soviet and Chinese specialists on anomalous phenomena have mapped out a program to investigate incidents that are already known and have also arranged to directly exchange video and photographic materials on new similar phenomena.
Weird.
Yeah. Dalnogorsk has not been chosen by chance as a place for such acquaintance. In the last few years, a number of cases of visual observation of UFOs has noticeably increased there. In just the last 4 years alone, there are no less than 10 UFOs have been recorded.
Hotspot. You
know, right? Specialists link their heightened interest in places here with the variety and wealth of useful minerals and maritime cray. Cray is the kind of the area of Russia that it is, but that place is a big mining town where they mine a lot of materials that they use in like kind of the military area, military technology. So this was from 1990. This is from May 1990. So this was 4 years after the UFO crash in Dalnogorsk.
Now, okay, so this UFO crashes, witnesses see it. Was there any witnesses? Kind of like sometimes you hear from Area 51, like bodies. Or hauling the spacecraft away on like a flatbed truck or anything like that?
I didn't come across anything.
No, I didn't. I didn't see
people
anything
hauling
either.
Away stuff away. People said that they saw areas where it might have landed, where the object actually had touched ground. But I didn't hear of any recovery or anything like that. Some scientists kind of theorized that it was. Like this object, okay, so say this object crashed into the ground or something, had some sort of catastrophic failure that caused it to land on the ground, and that this was some sort of self-repairing object. It had the ability to extract materials or even transmutate materials, because they said that around that area where the craft had allegedly crashed, there were... they found iron, traces of iron, but the iron wasn't from that area. Like it wasn't from the iron from, I guess, you know, geologists can from through spectroscopy.
Different isotope tell, or something or whatever it is.
Right. You can tell where a mineral is from or if it's from a certain area. And they said that the iron that they found there was not from that area. So some people say that, scientists kind of theorize or some ufologists theorized that this UFO was repairing itself. It was transmuting. It was taking materials from the mountain, which is the mountain is high and various. It has a high concentration of different minerals. That's why the Soviet Union was mining there, and it was using those minerals to transmute into what it could use to repair itself.
Right, that's crazy.
Pretty weird.
So what's the debunking on this one? Is there people that people just say like, oh, you didn't see anything, and it's weird that they actually tested like some minerals and stuff, right? And actually did a little bit of science on it.
Yeah, and the thing is, we have pieces of it, or we have what is claimed to be pieces of what they found at Dalnogorsk. And they're actually at the National Atomic Testing Museum in Las Vegas.
They have this from the stuff from this
from that crash.
How'd they get that?
They got it. They got it through, I think it was Eric Knapp. Eric Knapp is he's a investigative journalist from he works in, he's got a radio show in Las Vegas. And I think people know about him. I mean, he's been around for a while. And he used through his connections and things, he was able to acquire these. And like these pieces have been kind of floating around different places. Like they, people say that people want to find these. I guess certain scientists have been, you know, anybody would, interested in these materials that they recovered from the crash site. And people say that they like pieces of the, materials that they found go for like anywhere from like about, I think somebody said the estimate was like $1,500 a gram for these pieces.
So these are just pieces of, it's not necessarily a part of the crash. It could just necessarily be just like different molecules or whatever it is. It's not an actual piece
of
the...
It could be whatever they found there that wasn't there in the first place, or what people said, you know, what geologists were saying, that this isn't from here. The material that was left behind or whatever...
Whatever process led to that material being deposited there, it's not supposed to be
exist.
There.
Right. The pieces are at the National, like, if you know, if we have listeners who live in Las Vegas, please go check it out, because yes, it's at the National Atomic Testing Museum in Las Vegas. And it's in a little jar. There's pictures of it. It's like in a tiny little cylinder, glass cylinder, and you can actually see it. And there's a little plaque kind of next to it. And it's got the it says that it reads like this. It's the three Soviet academic centers and 11 research institutes analyzed the objects from the UFO crash. The distance between the atoms is different from ordinary iron. Radar cannot be reflected from the material. Elements in the material may disappear and new ones appear after heating. And one piece disappeared completely in front of four witnesses. The core of the material is composed of a substance with anti-gravitational properties.
What?
Sounds like a UFO to me.
We got to go see it. When are we going to Vegas? We got to plan our Vegas trip so we can go see it.
Yeah, we haven't decided what we're going to do for our winter trip, so.
So we're doing that. We're going there to see that.
Just that. So you said it was George Knapp that initially found this material?
It's George Knapp, right? Is the investigator.
Journalist guy?
Journalist. Pretty sure it's George Knapp.
I wonder. Seems like such a random pieces of material to come all the way back to the States, especially like out of Russia.
George Knapp.
Yeah, it's because it's not like the Russia-U.S. relations is the fucking the best for sharing that kind of shit.
No, you think that would have been locked down tight?
Yeah,
you'd think so, but that guy has been George Knapp's been around for a while, and I would assume he's got connections on there. The actual, I think the national. Kind of the what would be considered Russia's MUFON is actually headquartered in the United States. So,
really?
Yeah. I think it's headed up by a guy named Paul Stonehill. Paul Stonehill. He's also an author. He wrote books like The Soviet Case Files and also Mysterious Sky, Soviet UFO Phenomenon. I think he used to be a nuclear physicist in the Soviet Union.
Oh, and he and got out and set up shop in the States.
Yes. So he does lectures, and he's an author. So he does all kinds of stuff. You can look him up. I'm pretty sure he's got lectures on YouTube and stuff like that. But yeah, that guy is pretty on top of it. He knew about it. So I don't think it would have been impossible for them to get in contact with people who had that. Cause I mean, from what I saw, like there wasn't like a big military presence there.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like
you know, the military showed up and, you know, cartoned everything off and, you know, shot all the witnesses or anything, but it didn't sound like they were very interested in what was going on. It just sounded like a bunch of people just kind of checked it out. And if you want the first people, it seemed that the first people who were there were academics, which were 2 days after the crash, which 2 days, 48 hours, a lot can happen. And if the military got up there before them, maybe. But there was, if they carted something off, I don't know. But I think the scientists would have noticed if there were like truck tracks or, you know, hauling something off on the bed of a truck, like you'd leave some evidence behind. if there was some sort of covert operation to recover whatever was there. So didn't sound like that was the case.
Yeah, I know this one's it's cool because it makes it almost more believable that like there was no military like stories to be taken out of context, right? It was just all just civilians just going there and like investigating pretty much.
Yeah, it's just a really interesting case, and you know when you come across stuff like this, it's just like wow, like I didn't even know this had happened. Like this is so interesting, you know.
I had never heard about this one until we said we were gonna do the case file on it.
It's got like all the similar characteristics to like many other UFOs, like of the interfering with electronics and like giving off some type of weird radiation.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what causes that, like all these different UFO events. Is it something to do with like the propellant?
It could be maybe like an electromagnetic field or something.
That's what I think, making its own like either gravitational field or some sort of electromagnetic field.
Which I think is, you know, what could have also caused the craft to crash, which in my head, I'm not 100% on how electromagnetic propulsion would work or generating some kind of gravitational field. But I know that large sources of iron will mess with compasses. Like it will mess with electromagnetic fields to some degree. And I'm wondering if that craft got too close to the mountain, which had a large concentration of iron, and it just kind of screwed with stuff. And then it kind of took a dive.
Crunched into the hill.
Right. Then repaired itself and either either took off, it took off again or something like that. Or it's got to be something like that
because there's a lot of stories of crashed UFOs. So either this, like, for some reason when they fly their craft in like Earth's atmosphere or something, like it malfunctions a lot. Or, well, I've heard the theory before, like, some of the American government, especially like you can almost shoot down a UFO with like targeted like frequencies. So I always wonder like why, like how do these things fly and why they always crash in like the weirdest places like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird.
Cause like if you can actually like, if these are trans-dimensional machines, you come here and then you crash on Earth. I don't know. I've always wondered like how.
Yeah, you traverse the great distance of space and then you're like, fucking crash on a planet.
We messed up. We didn't realize what iron was. So when we got here, it really fucked with our crafts. Like,
you think you would like have run-ins with iron out in the universe?
Yeah, like 100%.
Hey, you don't know. It's just kind of, you know, maybe they.
It really humanizes
technology. Yeah,
it humanizes aliens for me. You know, even they can make mistakes.
Yeah. It's a really unusual case with this. Was it something, or was it an AI controlled craft and it just didn't know, you know, it didn't anticipate that what that was going to happen? It was a probe or something like that,
some type of drone. Yeah. Autonomous drone.
For me, the actual CIA document that says that Russia and China were sharing information, you know, specifically on UFOs and choosing Dalnogorsk as a location after there being reported UFOs in the area.
Yeah.
That
someone knew something.
Rings so true. Like, it's, I'm like, at first I was kind of skeptical, like, you know, as with most UFO cases, I'm like, oh, there's not going to be that much. But there's an actual document, an official document that says that China and Russia were working together to find out information about UFOs.
Yeah, it's super, you know, weird.
And not just like UFOs in the sense that they were, you know, that like they're USA or you know, or the US craft or something like that, but that there were 10 UFOs in Dalnogorsk. You know, I don't think the US is really interested in Dalnogorsk, even if you, I guess, if you, I don't know, if you launched recon aircraft over there, I don't think you'd really go over that area, but you know,
yeah, why
that
there?
document is really telling of something going on.
Someone knows something, but they want to tell you that it's just ball lightning.
Yeah, I mean, I guarantee Russia has tons of documents. I mean, it's the country with the greatest landmass. Like, it's the country with the largest area.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine how many downed craft that they've had over the years and what has fallen out of the sky onto their,
well, you know,
their territory.
But we're the second largest, and I don't think, like, we're no fucking military superpower, I'll tell you that much. We have three submarines and two are in a fucking mall. Like, and, like, to me, it's just, it would be hard because if you're saying stuff's getting downed in Russia because of just the landmass and stuff, would we just, essentially, would we just hand over that stuff to the States right away?
Well, I wouldn't see it going, I wouldn't put it past, like, the Russians to just lock it up and, like, never talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, there might be some studying about it, but then they're, even once their scientists are like, oh, we can't figure it out or whatever, we're going to have to wait till later. Like, they just keep it in some vault in the middle of nowhere because there's plenty of places you can hide stuff in Russia, pretty sure. and just never, it would never see the light of day.
That's true. We never hear any stories from Russia. Like, they probably have so many UFO stories and stuff that we would never even heard of. Like, we only probably heard of this one and a few of the big ones just because they eventually trickle out. But
yeah, and it makes them hard to investigate just to get in there and, like, actual, you know, anything to confirm any information or source information in there. Yeah, it's difficult and it's a shame, you know, I guess. Yeah.
Now, what about the theory that instead of us being an alien craft, that it's not some type of like Russian advanced spy plane, kind of like the States at the time had like the Blackbird, you know?
Yeah.
Those Area 51 flying UFOs that everyone reported, yet that was never acknowledged for like 40 years.
Yeah. But even if it were a crash, like experimental Soviet craft, I think you would have had more military activity for sure. Like, there would have been noticeable uptick in military activity in that area. I think people would have taken notice of it for sure. Especially, I don't think they would have let those scientists go in there 2 days after the fact. You know, that place would have been locked down.
Yeah, possible. Unless nothing was really left behind except the altered metals.
Yeah, or experimental metals. Like,
yeah,
could be.
Or it's part of the.
I just.
It was part. Yeah. It's part of the secret space force, or secret space program. They're leaps and bounds ahead of our the real human space program. So, yeah. if you listen to Corey Good and the boys, there is an advanced space force that's been on this planet for the last 100 years. Did you hear any about this Corey Good thing trying to trademark the term secret space program?
Secret space program. We're trying to trademark secret space program.
Yeah, because that's his bread and butter right now, right? It kind of seems like it's one of these, like, we've talked about him before. Corey Good is he was taken by the Secret Space Force for 20 years, and then he was age regressed back to being 40, even though he's supposed to be 65 or something. That's his story. That's a whole nother tangent to us. His UFO.
That's a whole other thing.
His UFO is in this It always makes me think of the secret space program, and this Corey Good's been in the fucking news here nonstop about this. It's so funny. What other theories we got for this thing? There's nothing really. It's a tough one because nothing was really found, except just a little bit of metal.
Yeah, those metals apparently have a lot of unusual qualities. Like, I can't get into it. Super into it because I'm not a metallurgist. I'm not a particle physicist. But apparently they have qualities that are extremely unusual.
We mentioned a few of them. Yes, so, definitely.
Yeah, like anti-gravitational qualities. Like, that's really something that definitely warrants more testing, I think. Part of me wants to doubt, like, you would let that kind of stuff be put in a national museum and National Atomic Testing Museum. And, you know, at first I thought the National Atomic Testing Museum was just kind of like, oh, it's just a roadside attraction or something like that. Like, no, this place is associated with the Smithsonian Institution. This is a national, it is a national museum. You know, so I'm like, this is.
Something that's really, if something had like actual anti-gravitic properties, though, do you think they just lock it up in like
a case? It's probably a fake.
Yeah, they kept the real. They've been trying to replicate it ever since.
Yeah.
Or they already have, and that's what all these new UFOs are.
Could be. I mean, I wouldn't put past some of these new UFOs and be like, or why we haven't seen them.
Yeah, well, if they don't show up on radar, and there's pretty much no way to, if they can disappear.
Maybe
if
we've
they
just
can
gotten
disappear,
better at building them.
Yeah, that anti-radar reflective coating is now just like an actual cloaking hologram or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Could be. I mean, we've just gotten maybe all the UFOs before during the 90s and 80s were just us getting the technology right. And now we've got it pretty well, and now it's better at hiding.
Could be. Could be.
So I could see that happening.
What else we got? It's height 611.
That's pretty much like there isn't a lot. There's not a lot out there on it.
So rest is a mystery, kind of.
I bet there's more Russian stuff on it that's in Russian, but
yeah, it hasn't been translated and made available.
Yeah.
No, there's so many of these UFO incidents. I mean, it's got to be something going on.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like. Or the whole world, everyone is, we're all crazy. No, there's no sane people in the world. Everyone's crazy. Everyone sees things.
Interesting. It's just an interesting UFO case. Like,
yeah, it's cool.
There's like some hard evidence, some factual like government documents. Like it's interesting. It's too bad there's not more like, people having like their, encounters and like letting more personal opinion out there on like people who were there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what's kind of missing on this one. It's like, okay, well, I want to hear some accounts of some of the eyewitnesses and stuff, but it's like, well, they're Russian and it's hard to find. And
Something happened. Something weird.
Something definitely happened.
hashtag look it up. Let's get into some, we got a bunch of new 5-star reviews.
Yeah.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, I'm gonna read.
I like hearing nice things.
That guy who gave a bad review can eat a wiener. 5-star review from Tyrone Sapien. Honestly, the only podcast I listen to. I don't care what anybody says. Braden and Mr. Conspiracy make the show. Oh, look at that!
Oh shit!
My tires have been. Reinflated.
Look what you've done.
That was by me. I did that review. Best in the Galaxy by Capronia. Capronia? I don't know. I just finished the 81st episode after only 1 month of listening. These guys are the funniest and most entertaining and informative guys out there. Never has a podcast grabbed my attention so strongly. I wish Meat Draw Braden would come out more often, but I'm glad he has bad reading skills, even when sober. Very funny. Ron Pond would be proud. If he ever travels to this dimension again, my hope is he makes an appearance on the show.
Ours too.
I got really liking it. 5-star by Casher Dasher. This podcast is pretty sweet. A few regular guys sitting around having a beer talking conspiracies. Dan seems to really look into the topic and always has intelligent.
always has it.
Or maybe that's Zell. Probably both. Braden's slightly illiterate mush mouth can be quite entertaining. Highly recommend.
Slightly illiterate mush mouth. Mush mouth. Yeah. We're keeping that one. I need to write that down.
Slightly illiterate mush mouth. Lovely.
Oh, man.
Cracker of a podcast. 5-star review from Perchard. Highly entertaining, gents. Keep it up.
Boom.
That's all our 5-star reviews.
Oh, man. Oh, these are really nice ones.
Yeah, those were.
People say such nice things about us.
Mush mouth. Oh,
slightly illiterate mush mouths.
Zell, you got a prolapser of the week?
I do. I gotta make it up to this guy. Oh, I fucking closed it.
All right. Well, while you're struggling.
Well, I'm struggling. You'll figure it out.
We got some new Patreons.
Woo!
So if you can't get enough of us and you need some more, go on Patreon. You can unlock. We have designated case files, Patreon only. This show is, as always, ad-free. We're not down with that. So if you're not down with that,
get down with Patreon.
tons of cool stuff there. So we have November. So Aria Abrego. Where else here? What? They always change it. Tanner Hewitt, Chris Powers, Tara Austin, Jabba the Slut, Mark R. Pearson, Zachary Ward, Eliezer Agrant Jr. Sorry, I might have butchered that one. Aaron Smith, not a meth lab, and Justin Riviera. If I didn't read your name, don't worry. I'll get there one day. But yeah, we got tons of stuff on our Patreon. Check it out. We got new shirts out. Go slap on a Mr. Conspiracy's Power Hour shirt. They're flying off the shelves.
Or don't.
Don't. Every time someone buys his shirt, the logo gets bigger. It's just his face.
It's going to stretch around the whole shirt.
Yeah. Just a quick zoom in of the shirt.
It's just his whole face is the shirt. Like, it's just...
I'm gonna do another one where it's just a zoomed in, really like bad picture of his face, and then it just says, "Look it up." Zell, you got your prolapse of the week ready now?
Found him after all that struggling. Gonna make it up to this guy. His name is Mike Gentile. He's a musician from Chicagoland. I guess is that what you guys call yourselves, from Chicagoland area?
Oh, okay.
It's
just Chicago.
His band.
Yes, you can say Chicago.
His band is called Majungas. Majungas, and he asked us to give him a shout out for his new, he made a concept album titled Ancient Astronaut Theory, and it goes from like after the Big Bang all the way down to Extraction Point, and it's kind of like a concept of, I guess, life in the universe pretty much. He asked for a shout out because he was going to Alien Con in Baltimore, but we just missed it, so I'm giving him a shout out now. Zell's Prolapse of the Week and featured song of the week, it's called Majungas Intergalactic Invasion. And it's actually pretty good. Stick it at the end of the case file here. You can all have a listen.
Coming up next, case file 84, MK Ultra.
What?
Wait, what?
Yeah, what?
Case file 84.
What about 84?
And then brain's cutting in and out.
Uh-oh, we're losing him. Losing to the winter storm.
I know.
Braden?
And Braden. We lost him.
Braden.
We lost him. We lost him, folks.
Braden.
CIA's cutting us off. Ah.
Ugh, shit.
Oh, man. Jesus. Right at the end of the show. How is this possible?
Well.
Worst timing.
I guess that's
slightly illiterate mushmouth.
No.
Well, I guess that's the end of the show.
No.
Nope.
On my back? Am I back?
I'm hearing something.
We're just getting like little bits and pieces of brain in here.
Oh, no. You can't.
No.
Can you hear me now?
Oh. This is terrible, but it's also really funny.
Oh.
No.
You don't touch me. No. Can you hear me now? Come on.
Like kind of
maximum robot voice, Braden.
Hello, Braden.
I think we lost him.
Braden, come back.
We're back?
We have done after hours.
Oh my god. What do you think happened? Yeah, I don't know. Well, I guess that's the end of the show. We lost Braden there for whatever reason.
He's gone. So,
yep.
That's it for this this week's episode.
Like we always say, brutal. Keep those eyes on the skies.
In peace.
In comes the mothership from a distant world. Warning sirens blare from our strongholds. One by one they teleport through the sky. Foreign creatures I could not identify. Welcome to our home, the land of Martians. Do you come in peace? What are your intentions? Boom! Out from their guns, a laser stream. Ransack the village, harboring the human beings. The outnumbered greys could hardly put up a fight. Watching their creations disappear from sight. The invaders prepared their vessels for departure with the human race in their capture. A nuclear bomb was detonated. The Crimson Planet was obliterated.
Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last. Save now at CedarPoint.com.